Lynching is one of this country's darkest legacies. It claimed the lives of thousands of black Americans, particularly in the South. But the South wasn't the only place where lynching happened. In the wake of the Civil War, Michigan saw three lynchings of black men by white mobs. One of those men was John Taylor. On August 27, 1866, a mob of hundreds of white Ingham County residents hanged the 18-year-old farmhand. Here to talk to us about that event and the history of lynchings in the North is Michael Pfeiffer, professor at the City University of New York's John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Michael, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
So tell us about John Taylor. Who was he and how did he end up in Ingham County?
He had been born a slave in Kentucky, and he had encountered some Union troops and then had joined a black regiment and had made some contacts with some Michiganders, and this is how he ended up in Michigan. And he ended up working as a hired hand just after the war, 1866, so the war ends in 1865. And he quarreled with the white man that he was working for, a man named John Buck. And this quarrel over wages would lead to a confrontation that would end in the lynching of John Taylor.
Well, let's back up. So what did Taylor do to his employer?
Well, this is sort of disputed in the accounts. And so if you look at the newspapers of the time, there are sort of varying versions of what happened. One version is that he physically attacked the female relatives of John Buck. Some versions have him even killing the female relatives of John Buck, but it's not clear exactly what occurred. It's clear there was some sort of confrontation over wages, and this led to the lynching.
Yeah, many of these lynchings start with the accusation that a black man had hurt or violated white women. Do lynchings in the North often follow that pattern?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And if we look at Michigan, yes, that is the case. So if we look at the record of lynchings in Michigan, it's seven victims, and three of them were African-American. But of those three African-Americans, in all cases, we have sort of gendered allegations of an African-American man harming a white woman. The other two cases were in Sheboygan, 1883, and then in Port Huron in 1889. And both of those lynchings of African-American men in Sheboygan and in Port Huron involved allegations of rape. But just to contextualize that, if we look at lynchings overall in the U.S., and of course several thousand lynchings of African-Americans occurred in the South, this gendered allegation of sexual offenses, of rape, it's actually a minority of cases. It's only about just over a third of the cases, again, of the several thousand cases of African-Americans lynched in the South. But yes, if we look at Michigan in particular, we do see sort of this gendered dimension looming pretty prominently.
So Taylor is sitting in the jail. He's awaiting the trial for this alleged attack. What happens next?
So it's sort of disputed how the mob was able to seize him. And the mob apparently was between about 100 persons and 300 persons, so that the numbers vary. So they were able to seize him and to hang him, to execute him. And then the aftermath is quite interesting because it gets wrapped up in, sort of the partisan wrangling of the time and, sort of the divisions coming from the Civil War, even before the Civil War, over racial equality. And the Republicans, of course, before the war, they had been abolitionists. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them had a greater interest in racial equality. And the Democrats, before the war, had been allied with the slaveholding South. So those divisions are very much present in the way in which this lynching is understood. So apparently this area of Ingham County was a Democratic stronghold, and I actually looked at the voting and looked at the census and so on, and the election in 1866 that followed this a few months later, and sure enough, this area of the county was a stronghold for the Democrats. But if we look at the newspapers at the time, the Republican newspapers condemned the lynching. The Lansing newspapers allied with the Republicans were quite vocal in condemning the lynching. But Democratic newspapers in Michigan took a much softer line and found ways to justify the lynching based upon Taylor's alleged offense. So it definitely broke down along partisan lines.
Michigan actually saw fewer lynchings than some of the northern neighbors here. Which states in the north had the most lynchings, and why those states?
Yes. Well, that is absolutely true. It really breaks down along, you know, sort of an intra-regional pattern. And so Indiana had the most lynchings in the Midwest, the numbers in the 70s in terms of the total. And as I said, Michigan had 7 lynchings. Iowa had in the 60s, if you want to include Missouri in the Midwest, the number of victims were more than 100. So I think it has a lot to do with sort of the white settlers who came to Michigan versus the white settlers who came to Indiana. And actually, Indiana, it's more complicated because if southern Indiana, we're talking about sort of upland southerners coming in and being sort of the foundational culture. Michigan, it's Yankees. Northern Indiana, it's Yankees. Yankees meaning people from New England. So these foundational cultures, I think, are really important for what happens with lynching a bit later in the 19th century. But yes, Indiana, sadly, was the foremost of the Midwestern states for lynching.
How long did these lynchings continue in the northern states?
Quite late. So Marion, Indiana, had a horrific lynching in 1930 of several African Americans. Duluth, Minnesota, had a horrific lynching of 3 African Americans in 1920. So it does persist into the first decades of the 20th century. So it's remarkably persistent. And of course, we do need to remember that the numbers in the Midwest are considerably less than what we see for the South.
Right. Yeah, well, the South is grappling with this legacy of racial violence. Earlier this year, the National Memorial for Peace and Justice opened in Montgomery, Alabama. That's the nation's first memorial to thousands of black lynching victims. Have there ever been efforts in northern states to remember those black citizens who were killed in lynchings, you know, above the Mason-Dixon line?
Yes. Well, I think this is a very, very important question. So until recently, there really hadn't been much of an effort. One exception would be in Duluth, Minnesota, where in 2003 a memorial was set up for that lynching in 1920. But otherwise, efforts to memorialize lynchings in the North, I think, have been pretty absent. And I think it's really, really important to recall that the North was part of this history. And I think this has been sort of erased from the collective memory of certainly white Northerners, that throughout this tormented racial history in the U.S., the North has participated in various ways. And one thing that's quite interesting about this Ingham County lynching is when it occurs. And so this is right after the war, 1866. Reconstruction is just getting started. And so the vast wave of racial violence that would occur in the South is just getting underway. So Ingham County is sort of participating in that. I've looked at some other lynchings that occurred in the North in the early 1860s. There's one in Milwaukee, 1861. There's another in Newburgh, New York, 1863. And so in a way that the North is sort of paving the way here with racial lynching, which would never, of course, take root in the same way that it would in the South. But these events are part of the North's history as well, and not simply the South's history. And I think it's important to include the North and have the North think about its role in America's troubled racial history.
It's interesting, in Delhi Township, where the lynching occurred, the only sign that anything ever happened there was the fact that there's a dead man's park. What's that tell us about how the North remembers its history?
Well, that suggests that there certainly is a local memory there of this event. And I understand that there's now an effort to rename that park and to find a way to memorialize the lynching. And, you know, to just simply have it named Dead Man's Hill or Dead Man's Park, I think, you know, that doesn't in any way sort of properly memorialize the tragic event that happened at that site. You know, it certainly remembers the event in a particular way, but not in a way that really fully comprehends, I think, that the tragic nature of the event.
Michael Pfeiffer is a professor at the City University of New York's John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thanks for talking to us about this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
By the way, the Delhi Township Parks Commission voted in July to rename Dead Man's Hill. It is now the John Taylor Memorial Park.